I want to talk to you very, very confidentially in nobody's ears but yours.
All right.
I was talking to a friend of ours in New York, and he asked me if, said that you had not in any way indicated that anybody knew it but you, but that he assumed that I was favored our columnist friend going on network because you had called him about it.
Oh, of course not.
And I said, no, and I think that's a very dangerous thing to do, and so you just you let somebody else promote him until you get out of this spot. I don't know how you tell him, but don't you be calling any of our friends. Tell them what they ought to do, because anything you do now is going to look like the president's doing it, and particularly on something of that nature.
But what happened was, about 10 days ago, I called and said, is there a policy that ABC Paramount has that would preclude this? If there is,
well, now, why do you do that?
Well, I'm still a civilian trying to wind things up, and that was the last thing I was going to do for them.
Well.
But I won't do it anymore. I'm through in another 10 days.
But I mean, you're going to create more problems than you solve with that.
Well, this is something we had started about 3 months ago with an advertising agency, and I was hoping I could wind it up. But it's for my ears only, and it won't be done. That's the end of it, and I'll get out of it.
Yeah, because they almost taken it as whether it's an ultimatum.
Oh, my God. And, well, Eddie shouldn't have done anything like that. Just an inquiry.
That's right. But, Leonard, when Bill Moyers called you and asked you about something, you think naturally the boss is for it.
Yeah,
he doesn't know what you're operating in that field that could be so effective, the boss, without the boss's knowledge.
All right. Well,
you see what I mean?
Yeah, well, this is a matter of Eddie shouldn't have done that because I gave him no such impression. I told him I was not over at the USIA yet. He asked me about that, and I said, no, I won't be over till September 1st. Okay, you've
done
it.
That's right, but that has an effect on him.
Okay,
and so you
I'll
just
straighten it out.
And be awfully careful. Anything else that you're doing, wind it up, because if you don't, you better get over there tomorrow.
I'm not doing anything more except winding a contract up for Pearl Meston. And that can't affect you.
Well, I don't know.
Putting her on television and writing a column. And that's all. And I'm not getting paid for it, but I feel an obligation to finish what I started. You got a moment?
Yeah.
I've just been spending the morning with my Voice America people, Keith Adamson and John Chancellor, outlining to them that when Congress recesses, I want them to start a campaign worldwide on the accomplishments of this Congress and what the Great Society means in terms of humanitarian and social conservation and beautification and education and all that's been done, and to make a comparison with all the works of previous Congresses so that the world will know what a great social step has been taken in this country. Now, inevitably, it's going to involve puffing you, but I want to puff you, because if I don't puff you, I don't puff this country, and I want you to know that. I'm going to use good taste, but I'm going to do it.
Well, I think it, as long as you talk about what the Congress has done and what the program has been, and not get in the personalities too much, I think that's all right.
Well, I'm going to do it in not only the Voice of America, I'm going to do it in magazines, I'm going to do it in press, because I think this is the occasion, and the only image that Europe and other parts of the world have of us now is unfortunately of Vietnam and Santo Domingo and some of the carping criticism and the riots in Los Angeles. It's about time that they got the image that's true here. And unless I do it affirmatively, nothing's going to happen. I just can't be halfway on this.
All right. Now, I think one thing that you ought to do, I spent 11 o'clock with the budget last night.
Yeah.
And I think that you ought to pick out as near as you can any fresh new men that you have, like Akers and Chancellor, and any assistants that you have, and yourself and some one or two of the old heads. May get you a task force of about 7. And really see what it is you can eliminate that you've been doing. Now, the total government task forces that brought in from the 10 major departments, 9 exclusive defense, reductions of $1.3 billion in last year's expenditures. We're not going to take any budget until we look and see what they can cut out of what they've been doing. And anything from lights to newspapers. For instance, I found out that we were getting 82 copies of the New York Times here in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
And every clerk that came on figured they had to get the Times, the Tribune, the Chicago Tribune, the Wall Street Journal, everything the president got. So I just started reading the ticker, AP and UP, and I read the Post at the Bulldog at 11 o'clock, and that's the extent of what I get in the Star in the afternoon. Now, we have in the room a copy of the Times and the Tribune and the Chicago Tribune, Wall Street Journal, and the Fish Room. Anybody, I need it, I can go read it, and I do. But we saved $1,284.
Right.
Just on newspapers.
Yeah.
Because every assistant, Bill Moyer, of course, has to have them. But Jack Blenny didn't feel like he had status unless he had what Bill had. And then George had to have it, and Marvin had to have it. And then the one that just raised the most hell, he just couldn't get along without it at all, was Harry McPherson and those boys. And I just said, well, screw you, go buy it yourself. Who bought your papers before you came to the White House?
I agree with you completely. I've been looking around here. We get copies almost at every area director's office.
I would just, I would have them available where they could see them in a central place, didn't have to go too far, and a few copies. Then I'd look at them all the rest of the area, and I'd look at anything that you might be questioned about under the First Amendment. We got a letter from Al Otten, 2 pages, President of the White House correspondent, saying that he couldn't ride in an Air Force plane and pay them the regular commercial rate because to do any business with the government in any way would compromise the First Amendment and would be an attempt to subsidize them. So they're getting ready to show we tried to subsidize them. So we told them all right. We called in them, told them we wouldn't let them ride an Air Force plane then. The White House president says he doesn't want to do it. And that means they can't ride an Air Force bus out to the airplane. And that means we can't use a White House telephone to call and make the reservation. We've been babysitting them back up for years. That means you can't have an office in the White House. And by the time we got through telling